meet Rick Kamler from NBA TV. He's also a sports talk show host in Atlanta. And I actually was going to reach out to him the week after the Super Bowl, and I didn't have the heart to do that. Rick, it's great to be talking to you again. I'm with Doug Christie, and it was great to be able to chat with you and have you on the show when I was in Houston. But have the people in Atlanta, have they gotten off the rooftops and everything else? Is life back to normal yet after the Super Bowl?
Well, Grant, first of all, it was great meeting you as well. I already felt like I knew you from all the games I've watched on League Pass. Doug Christie, hello.
Hey, hey.
Absolutely loved the Zeppelin bumper music. That was ridiculous. but in terms of people in Atlanta getting over it, I would say not even close. The Monday after they lost that game, it was as if every hardcore Falcon fan in Atlanta lost their brother on Sunday night. It was that bad. Like, people walking around like zombies, like, dude, you okay? No, man, I'm not okay. Like that. And people have, you know, we're a couple weeks out. Time heals all wounds, as you guys know, but we're still too close, man. You know, the vitriol and the hate for Kyle Shanahan is, you know, it's diminished a little bit because he's in San Fran and you just got to move on. But Falcons fans are bitter. I mean, it's bad, man.
When I had you on, we talked about DeMarcus Cousins, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if memory serves me correct, you said, "Hey, you know what? The Kings should blow this up and move him."
Yeah, and but not this early. Like, I don't understand. This is what I don't understand about this trade. Why Sunday night? Okay, for a couple of reasons. You have until 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. Play it out. Let urgency build. Let hunger build. Let desperation build with organizations as you approach the deadline. And also, come on, man, Sunday night, it's the All-Star game. And the weirdness with D.C. not playing very much in the game, it's like, come on, man, let them play it out. Let's have fun. Drop the news on Monday morning.
I agree with you. The timing was not good. The timing was not good. No. I don't know where that information came from, but the timing was not good.
No, yeah, and the other thing is, like, okay, you're moving Cousins. How do you not get Drew Holiday in the deal? And I'm not really trying to make the money work. I'm just talking about a talent that you could get back and that could be a difference maker for the Kings. I don't understand not getting Drew Holiday. Buddy Hield to me, you know, look, I was a big fan coming out of Oklahoma. A lot of the analysts and evaluators that I talked to have been breaking down his game, and he's not a playmaker. He's not an elite athlete. You know, he can't create his own shot really that well. He can't really defend, and he can shoot. So, like, really, he was the centerpiece of the deal. I don't get it. And, again, I'm a Buddy Hield guy. But as the centerpiece of a deal for DeMarcus Cousins, that doesn't seem right to me. And almost more importantly of all of that, okay, you got a nice pick coming. It's top three protected. So in the event that some crazy lottery stuff happens and that pick shoots up to one, two, or three, the Pelicans get to keep it. I just don't understand. Like, how is that pick protected at all? You just gave up DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, the chances, that's based on how we think things are going to go, that would be about a 1% chance of happening.
But, hey, weirder things have happened, right?
This is true. Rick, what do you think this means for the Pelicans moving forward?
Doug, I'm sorry, to clear my throat. What does it mean for who going forward?
For the Pelicans, getting DeMarcus Cousins, having Anthony Davis, obviously being able to keep Drew Holiday. You're going to need some wings, but what do you think they look like moving forward?
Doug, pardon me. Look, the Pelicans are, and again, apologies to Kings fans. I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm reaching out to y'all right now and just letting you know, sorry. This is not a good move for your team.
I totally disagree with you. I think it's a great move for the team, but I'll let you speak.
Well, hold on, Grant. Grant, I get it in terms of the team had to move on. Like I said that on your air. I just think that there could have been a better package out there, and I don't understand what kept y'all from getting a better package, and I'm not necessarily buying. So, Grant, we're on the same page or in terms of the script had to change. DC had to go. I just don't like the package that you got. Why wouldn't you wait till Thursday and maybe get that premium number one pick, likely to be number one or two, Boston, you know, via Brooklyn, and you get a couple of nice pieces on that team Grant, do you agree with me that the Kings could have gotten a better package? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but Boston didn't want him. Well, let me ask you this. What happens if you get to Thursday and there are no deals, and as an organization, you've already made up your mind that you want to move him because you do not want to be in a position of July 1st of having to give him the maximum extension?
Well, I mean, that's a very good point. And I guess to the people that like me, say the timing was weird, you know, you should have waited. That's the other side of that the Kings made the decision, like Grant, you and I agree on, he's got to go. We got to get him out of here. We got to maximize what we can get for him. And essentially, instead of playing the poker game out till the bitter end, till the wee hours of morning in Las Vegas, you know, 4:15 a.m., man, you're in that poker game. They didn't want to go that far. You know, they just said, we got a package that we like. And Grant, you tell me. Like Vivek Ranadive loves Buddy Hield, right? Like, tell me what you know about that and how Vivek views Buddy Hield and how good he think he can be.
Well, I've been asking people for 48 hours to where the origin of that source came from, because the quote was, or the report was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, that he compared Buddy Hield to Steph Curry.
That's what I heard as
and
well.
And I'm trying to find out where that came from, because I would like to explore that more. Obviously, Buddy Hield's not Steph Curry. I mean, we need Buddy Hield to be Buddy Hield first before he can be Steph Curry. And so I don't even know where that came from. I'm trying to confirm that, because I don't even know where that started.
Well, yeah, I mean, so then maybe, Grant, I mean, you're as plugged in as anybody, so maybe that's just sort of a made-up deal. Maybe it's not of any significance or substance at all. Look, I like Buddy Hield, man. I hope Buddy Hield can become a 25 PPG guy and kick ass for your Kings. I'm not rooting against him.
I understand that.
I just the Jrue Holiday thing. I mean, aren't you guys?
I don't know. Why do you think that New Orleans would make Jrue Holiday part of that package? Who's playing point guard for them at that point?
And Rick, you got to understand that this narrative, Rick, is not going to change. People, national media, yourself included, everyone, the Kings are going to be the butt of the joke, as we were before I got here, until you start kicking people's butt. Once that starts happening, then that changes, and that has to change. I'm, Rick, you probably don't know because this is local, but I'm probably the biggest DeMarcus Cousins advocate in this area, so I was beat on for quite some time. But I understand when change comes, you have to make that change, and you have to do it with both feet down, planted. That's what's happened, and now you have to move forward and change that culture.
I mean, great point. And like I said, I am on board with the Kings hitting the reset button. Why do y'all accept a lottery protected pick? I mean, to me, that feels like a diss. It you know what I mean? It's like, you guys should have the leverage. You have DeMarcus Cousins. You have the player. He's arguably the best center in the National Basketball Association. And, like, historically in NBA history, teams that trade a guy like that are in the driver's seat and have the leverage. And it doesn't feel like the Kings were dealing from a point of leverage in this case.
It seems to me, based on not only what I know, but based on people that, like I'm sure yourself, that I respect that cover the NBA on a national level, there was very little interest for DeMarcus Cousins, and that the vast majority of teams didn't want anything to do with them, and that the offers that came in, one we reported about the Lakers, they didn't want to part with Brandon Ingram. Orlando backed out of a deal with Vucevic and Fournier about 10 days ago. There were really only two teams in earnest that were going for his services based on what we know, one being Phoenix and the other being New Orleans. We're talking about a 26-year-old, three-time All-Star that is the best, arguably the best big man in the league, and yet very few teams wanted him. Don't you think that says a lot?
Well, it does, and I'm going to be totally honest with you. I mean, the DeMarcus Cousin meltdown drives me crazy. It drives me crazy on the desk of NBA TV. It drives me crazy at home watching on League Pass. I mean, I cannot tell you, Grant, and you and Jerry Reynolds do a great job, and you ride the wave, and I can't tell you how many games I've seen where the Kings are right there. You know, it's foul number 5 with 1:37 to go, and DC loses his mind, and you guys lose that game. It's happened time and time again, and if he could eradicate that and be more mentally tough and, like, work his way mentally through that game and just chill the bleep out, he's probably going to be a Hall of Fame player anyway, but he could be a champion player. But for some reason, he just can't. There's no filter. There's no self-regulator that can, like, calm himself down. I mean, Doug, talk to that. Like, You were feisty, you were emotional. How did you control yourself?
You know what? It's a culture. It's what is in your locker room. It's do you run into the right veterans at the right time that teach you the right things? And we've talked many times on here, Rick, about the fact that if DeMarcus would have been part of our team, a lot of things that he went through wouldn't have happened because we wouldn't have allowed those to happen. Well, initially when he got here, from my understanding, because I wasn't here at that time, he was given the car keys immediately. And as a 19-year-old kid, and you're just saying, here, go, you do whatever you want. And that cachet continued to build up to the point where now you have something that is out of control. And I always said when I got here, if I could just, you know, speak to it, I think that there's a way to get through to him. How do you do that? Because the product on the court, Rick, and you said it, is absolutely spectacular. It's those points where you're getting to and you're saying, no, don't, and then it's too late, and that's going to cost you games. How do you get through to a young man like that and allow him to understand that this is not acceptable?
And, Rick, I have a different opinion on that, and my opinion is that he's got a personality trait that I don't think can be fixed. That's my opinion on it. I think his personality is such that he, and you said the word filter, and that's the word I use all the time. He doesn't have a filter. He's not able to suppress his instantaneous emotion that gets him in trouble all the time, whether he's cursing out a fan like he did 2 weeks ago after a big win, or whether he's cursing out a coach, or whether he's cursing out the officials. He doesn't have the ability to filter that. He doesn't have his personality does not allow him to take that breath or count to five or whatever it takes. He doesn't have that ability based on what I've seen in 7 years.
And see, Rick, I'm on with Grant, and he and I go back and forth. I'm on the other end, and how I say you do that is there's this thing called the bench, and as soon as you flex, you sit your butt down, and then I look back down and say, you ready to go back in? Go back in. You do it again, you come sit down. And that is what athletes understand, Rick.
I mean, that was a great back and forth right there. I mean, Sacramento, a round of applause for Grant and Doug.
You're beautiful, like, man.
That was spectacular. Okay, so let me attack that from this angle. Grant, I agree with you. I think DeMarcus Cousins, I think there's something there. I don't know how you vet that. I don't know how he irons that wrinkle in him, but he's flawed. There's something there. He can't control himself in those impact rage moments when some people can mitigate their emotion. He cannot do that. So, Doug, we know that about DeMarcus Cousins. Can he go to an environment, a really cool city in New Orleans where they're going to love him, with Anthony Davis, the Kentucky Brotherhood and all that? Like, can that brotherhood, I mean, Anthony Davis is not a vet, not like a 10-year guy, not like this old grizzled OG. He's a, you know, a young vet, obviously a superstar player. Like, is he old enough and like wise enough to bring D.C. under it? I mean, D.C.'s older than Anthony Davis. Cousins should be showing Davis the way, not the other way around.
Yeah, you know, Rick, that's where Avin Gentry is going to have to step in, and he's going to have to draw a line in the sand, and that is where that comes in, because it hasn't been done. And is it something that AD can help DeMarcus with? I've totally said many times on the airwaves that there is a way to get in there. There is a way to fix that, because when you have that much talent, it's like, Rick, I use analogy of on a team, everyone is deficient. Some guys can't shoot. Well, do I just throw you out because you can't shoot? No, what I do is I pass you the ball when you're ready for a layup. Some guys don't stick well, so guess what we do, Rick? We double team. There's a way that you help people on a team, and DeMarcus's deficiency was the ability to explode, but all the other pieces, excuse me.
He's like you. He's got something in his throat, but I think you know where he was going with that. What do you have to say, Rick? He's losing it over here. He's now guzzling water.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, dude, like 75% of America is sick or getting over an illness right now. It's ridiculous.
It is crazy, huh?
It is absolutely crazy. It's going on like a week and a half for me right now. I've been to the doctor and everything. It is what it is, man. In terms of DeMar, look, I hope he can get, I hope he can just like relax and calm down. I wouldn't bet any money on it. I kind of think he is who he is at this point, but speaking to what Doug was talking about with Alvin Gentry, had an amazing conversation with him after the Hall of Fame press conference on Saturday morning. And he's such a cool guy.
He is.
Alvin Gentry is one of the most likable guys in the NBA.
He's great.
Yes.
He's an OG in terms of he's been on a bunch of staffs. He's had a bunch of head coaching jobs, took Phoenix to the West Finals. I mean, he's had success. But he's just a likable guy, and he's a chemistry guy. And I think he's a bring people together guy. So hopefully that works out for all of them in New Orleans.
We're talking with Rick Kamala from NBA TV. Also is a host with John Michaels, I believe, on 92.9 The Game.
That's right.
In Atlanta. Hey, I wanted to ask you before we let you go, Lou Williams, I mean, Magic Johnson didn't wait long to make his first move. Lou Williams is on to Houston for Corey Brewer and their first round pick. Boy, look at that Houston team. Tell me what happens with Lou Williams coming off the bench now there.
Whoa, y'all, I took a long nap and kind of woke up and was talking with my wife, and now I did the interview. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, Lou Williams for Corey Brewer.
And the Rockets first round draft pick.
Yep.
All right. I mean, so they're going to get, 25, 20. I mean, I'm fine with that. You know what? A first-round pick. That's what you're going to get for Lou Williams.
It's probably around 25. It's not going to be a good pick. It's going to be in the mid-20s.
Look, I'm okay with that. I don't know if you guys like, what's his name? Ivica Zubac?
Zubac, yeah.
Like, I like him a lot. So they got him at like 31 or 32. Okay, they can mess around and get better with that pick. I love Lou Williams to Houston. My God, it's Eric Gordon insurance.
Yep.
They're just going to keep scoring the ball, hitting threes. Good for Lou Williams. I think he's – look, if he goes to Houston and does what, continues to average 15 to 17 after what he did for L.A. the first half of the year, he may win Sixth Man of the Year.
Yes. Rick, this also bolsters their bench immensely, because when you look at the elite teams, that's where everyone, that second unit is something that is just, it's an absolute must. And now with that type of scoring punch, and you mentioned also insurance for Eric Gordon, I think this is a great move for the Houston Rockets.
So, guys, check this lineup out. Okay,
yeah.
What if you go Beverly, Lou Williams, Eric Gordon, James Harden as your point four,
jeez,
with Ryan Anderson as your stretch five.
Get out of town.
Think about that lineup.
Hey, I'll tell you, you know what I'm doing? The first thing I'm doing is I'm telling the 24-second clock operator to go home.
No question. No, and I'll see you at 120 points.
Easily, Rick.
Oh, hey, Rick, great stuff, man. I love having you on. You're really entertaining. You do a phenomenal job on NBA TV, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Guys, thank you, Grant. Thank you for the kind words. Really appreciate it. I had a blast. Hopefully Sacramento realizes how lucky they are to have you guys. Guys, call anytime. I'd love to come on.
Thanks, man. Be well. That's Rick Kamala, NBA TV. Good stuff right there.